Welcome, everybody. I'm Bobby Elias. Our show is Let's Create a Better World. Now, that's an energized song, YMCA. At the end of the show, we're going to have a famous song by a longtime icon, Johnny Cash. The song is Crying. That'll be on for a little longer than the first song. All right. We have a great show today on holistic health with a great guest, Dr. Christine Horner. We're going to talk about a lot of things having to do with food, weight gain, weight loss, belly fat, nutrition, food, stress. And we're going to start out with a new category about called overfat. I'll let Dr. Horner explain all that. A couple announcements quickly. Next week's show will be about cleansing, with a longtime health guy, the guy that worked with Dr. Bob Marshall. That's David Cereo, cleansing, detoxing, and overall health to start the new year. We're still at a new year, and he wants to talk about that. We're going to talk about that with him and maybe a little bit with our guest today. It is a beginning of a great new year, and health is so, so important to all of us. It's the number one thing we talk about on this show, health. We talk about solutions for things like climate change, things like global warming, genetically engineered foods, wireless radiation. We talk about everything to do with food, exercise, staying young, staying healthy, and preventing and overcoming diseases like cancer and heart failure. But we're into all these things. We're very dedicated. I care about everything. And I'm very, very honored and privileged to have you, our listeners, with us today. So with that, let's get started with our guest, Dr. Christine Horner. Dr. Christine, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's my pleasure to be with you again.
Good, good, good. All right. Well, you have, the category that we talked, that your assistant told us about would be something about overfat and about, it's a different category besides the obesity thing. I'll let you explain all that if you could to us, and let's start with that first, if you could.
Sure. So, as you mentioned, there's kind of this whole new category for folks called overfat, and the situation, which is no secret, is we have an obesity epidemic in this country as well as in other places of the world, and what we do when we're kind of roughly guessing about somebody's, whether they're overweight or not, is using something called the BMI, the body mass index. And so what it is it's taking the weight and dividing it by the height. So it doesn't tell you anything about body composition. So now researchers have now identified that there's a fairly significant number of people worldwide, in fact, they're saying 76%, that will fall into this category where, according to their BMI, it looks like they might be normal, normal weight and everything, but when you look at their body composition, you find out that they have too much fat. And particularly we're talking about belly fat. And belly fat's very different from the subcutaneous fat. So it's actually on the inside of the abdomen. It's the fat that coats the organs, and it's the intention of it is to help to kind of cushion and protect the organs. But when there's too much of it, and there's certain things that contribute to developing that, then it actually is a really dangerous thing for our health. So the belly fat, and again, this is very different than the subcutaneous fat, it's something that's considered what we call metabolically active, meaning that it is producing proteins that are inflammatory proteins and also various different hormones. And so what they've discovered is that having excess amounts of belly fat is so detrimental to our health that it actually increases the risk of about 50 different kinds of diseases and 11 different kinds of cancers. So it's not that it's unattractive to have. It has much more to do with the fact that it's really dangerous for us, and that's why you really want to minimize the amount of belly fat that you have.
Wow, that's really great. The fact that this is kind of like your own new idea to give us a third category. Is that right, Dr. Horner?
No, I mean, this is something that the researchers, you know, have discovered. So they, you know, that was what was coined, you know, over fat. I mean, what I'm drawing attention to is that obesity, but not just obesity. I mean, again, you can look like your numbers may look like your normal weight, but in fact, you could have too much of this intra-abdominal fat, which really puts you at risk for a lot of different health problems. And so it's in order to achieve optimal health, which is, you know, what my messages are all about, you know, it's really important to do a whole variety of different things as far as your diet and lifestyle is concerned. But in addition to that, I think it's really great to, you know, raise the awareness of the fact that the, you know, belly fat, I mean, oftentimes we say, oh, we're, you know, reaching middle age, and so, you know, you're going to gain some weight around the middle. What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is it can increase your risk of 50 different kinds of diseases and 11 different kinds of cancers. So it's really important to, you know, to minimize that. And, you know, there's some tricks you can do, actually, that can be helpful.
Could you give us more on what people can do to reduce belly fat and anything else with obesity?
Sure. So one of the things, I mean, just to kind of lay a foundation, is that there's several different things that we know that contributes to excess belly fat. A couple things are things you can't do anything about, and a couple things are things that you can. So first of all, we find that men actually have more of a tendency to get this belly fat, and so that's kind of that quintessential beer belly, you know, where it sticks out, and if you try to pinch anything there, you really can't, because when you're pinching, that's the subcutaneous fat, so it's not rolls of fat, you know, in the abdomen is where it's, you know, sticking out like that. So men have a tendency to get it more than women do. Depending on your genetics and kind of the shape of your body, so we've all kind of heard about the pear shape and the apple shape, and so a pear shape is when you kind of get the distribution of fat on your hips and thighs, which can be unsightly, but it's actually not dangerous for your health, and the apple shape is really denoting that there's that intra-abdominal fat, and that is the type of fat that is dangerous. So certain people will have a propensity for one shape or the other, you know, based on their genetics. Now, the things that we know that you can do something about that are significant contributors is diet, of course. And so of all the different types of, I'll call it foods, but it's more like poisons that we consume, the things that we have found that directly increase belly fat more than anything else is sugar and carbohydrates. So, you know, cookies, crackers, cakes, processed foods, donuts, bagels, I mean, any of those things are, you know, things that really cause a lot of havoc in the body. They increase a tremendous amount of inflammation. They cause our blood glucose levels to go up, which have kind of a killing effect to our immune system. I mean, they found that after you eat a high sugary meal, it knocks out the function of your immune system by about 90% for 5 hours afterwards. So really detrimental effects. But again, it's also the number one contributor to belly fat. So, you know, we've talked so much, I think, about, you know, what a good diet is. And it's really you know, consuming as many organic plants as you can and getting rid of all the, you know, junk foods and processed foods. So by organic plants, I mean vegetables, fruits, nuts, seeds. You know, these are the things that are really the secrets for health. And the more you consume of them, the better it is. And the least you consume of those processed, you know, sugary foods, the better it is for you. So that's one thing. And then the next thing, actually, that's a really significant contributor is stress. So when we experience stress, there's the physiology of the human body. There's lots of miracles about it, but there's also some things that I consider design flaws. And when it comes to stress, that's one of them. So basically, whenever we, you know, experience stress, which is not something out there, it's actually something internal. It's how we view something, you know, it's our personal reaction to it, kind of a psychophysiological effect. What happens is our body will always respond in the exact same way. So it's the fight or flight reaction. So this could be, you know, like you really need to use the fight or flight reaction because something serious is happening. Maybe you need to jump out of the way of getting hit by a car or something like that. Then you need that. But for most of the stresses that we experience today, that reaction is completely inappropriate. So, for instance, you know, opening your credit card bills or, you know, doing your taxes this time of year. And, you know, so these things can cause stress, but obviously fight or flight's not something that is an appropriate response for it. So then what happens is that the stress hormones, in particular cortisol, becomes elevated, and because you're not using it in this fight or flight reaction, then it just kind of stays around. And throughout the day, I mean, it really, when you pay attention, it's kind of amazing the amount of little stress events, you know, that happen, from turning on the news and, you know, seeing what's going on in the world to, you know, whatever. So it's kind of a situation where we're finding that most people are having these chronically elevated cortisol levels. And cortisol plays a really important function in helping us with that fight or flight response. But again, if that's not the correct response, then it just stays elevated, and then it's actually quite damaging to your health. And so it has a number of really negative effects, from making your cells more insulin resistant, which increases your risk of developing diabetes. It kind of causes your blood sugar levels to go up, and then it also promotes the deposition of belly fat. So the techniques that you can use, kind of simple ones that you can use that can make a big difference, you know, what we can specifically look at is like, okay, first of all, maybe we can do something about the stress response. So thousands of years ago, different systems of medicine like Ayurveda, which is the traditional system of medicine from India, and then also traditional Chinese medicine, I mean, they recognized 5,000 years ago that stress was something that really contributed to creating imbalances in the body and eventually disease. And so they designed effective stress-reducing techniques. So like in Ayurveda, they use meditation. And in traditional Chinese medicine, I think most people have seen the pictures of those big, huge squares where people are practicing Qigong or Tai Chi in the morning. And these particular techniques are things that are designed to kind of train the nervous system to not be as responsive. So you can still have the same stress coming at you, but if you're practicing these techniques, which are actually to be practiced on a daily basis, so it kind of keeps your nervous system really in this more quieter state, and it doesn't have this huge response with the cortisol, then they find that when people have the same stress that comes into their life, their body does not respond to it very much, and the cortisol levels will stay down. There's unbelievable research on these techniques. So I practice a technique called Transcendental Meditation and have for the last 20 years or so, and it's actually the most researched form of meditation. There's been over 600 studies done on it from places all over the world, and they found that it is so effective in reducing stress that they did this study in Canada, for instance, where they found that people who practice transcendental meditation, so it's just a simple mental technique that's used 20 minutes twice a day, that's it, just once in the morning, once in the evening, that and then they matched it to a population that was similar but did not practice this technique, and they found that people who didn't practice the technique were admitted to the hospital twice as often for every single diagnosis you could think of except for pregnancy. So it seems kind of weird, you know, that you can do this little simple mental technique. But again, you know, there's other things, like I said, the Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga. I mean, all these things have been found to be these effective stress-reducing techniques. And so what they find is that it significantly reduces your risk, like I said, up to 50% of every kind of chronic disease that you know, can have. So, and again, 5,000 years ago, we realized that that was very important. And our kind of view of things is that we're probably more stressed out today. I don't know for sure. I wasn't there 5,000 years ago, but, you know, just with our kind of fast-paced life and everything. So, you know, it's kind of, I mean, I feel, as well as other experts, that in order to really achieve optimal health, it's no longer negotiable about, you know, doing one of these, practicing one of these techniques. Yeah. So, anyway, so you can do that. And then I've actually found that there's some nutritional supplements, you know, like simple vitamin C, for instance, is something that helps to prevent cortisol levels from staying elevated. So, you know, you can just say, okay, well, I can increase. I mean, one of the best ways to get it, I think, is eating organic plants. So, like this time of year, some of the plants that are super high in vitamin C that are in season are like winter squashes, oranges, all the cruciferous vegetables like Brussels sprouts and kale. So if you, you know, you can look it up, but there's, you know, a bunch of different types of vegetables and fruits that are high in vitamin C. And if you favor those during this time, not only does it help as far as, you know, giving you the nutrients that you need and having low calories and high in fiber and replacing those processed foods and that kind of thing, but also that nutrient vitamin C is something that's going to help to combat the stress reaction with the high cortisol levels. So, so that's, you know, one thing. Now, the next thing is that when we look at plants, and this is, I'm so thrilled that we have this explosion of research in this area where we're looking at plants and then analyzing them to see what types of active molecules that they have in them and then seeing what kind of health benefits they have. So there's just really been an explosion of research going on in this area. And, you know, for instance, on turmeric, you know, which is the most researched plant, there's over 10,000 studies in the medical research. So we're really, like I said, seeing this amazing explosion. So we look at, you know, these active molecules. Now, there's this category that they find of molecules called polyphenols, and kind of by definition, these molecules are biologically active. They all have antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties. So we know that oxygen-free radicals and inflammation are two processes that are kind of underlying all chronic diseases and cancers, heart disease, dementias, arthritis, all those kinds of things. So as soon as you're taking, you know, higher levels of antioxidants and anti-inflammatories, you're going to lower your risk of those diseases or improve them. So looking at a particular plant called a lychee fruit, so it's spelled L-Y-C-H-E-E. So lychee fruits are from Asia, and they're considered kind of a delicacy there. They're a small, kind of a white, fleshy, you know, fruit that's got this hard, red casing on it. If you get it here in this country, oftentimes it comes canned in heavy syrup and sugar, so you don't want that. And even, you know, leafy fruits themselves are really high in sugar content, so you have to be careful not to eat too many of them. But when they looked at the kind of the natural pharmacy that was present in leafy fruits, they found a particular unique polyphenol, which they call oligonol. So oligonol is O-L-I-G-O-N-O-L. So oligonol, they found, is not only, you know, got strong anti-inflammatory and antioxidant properties to it, but they also found that it had numerous really specific kind of health benefits. So it actually helps to improve diabetes or prevent against it. They found that it has an effect on the skin in particular, where it may reduce some skin wrinkling and help to kind of take away some of those age spots, you know, from the sun. And then they also found that it has this very specific properties that help with belly fat. And it works in a number of different ways. So there's several different pathways that it takes in order to help to prevent belly fat or help you to get rid of it. Now, when we look at doing studies, one of the most important things is looking at how a study is designed. And a double-blinded, placebo-controlled study is considered our gold standard. So this gives us the very best, most accurate information. And the way those studies are designed is that whatever thing you're trying to study, then you take a placebo or like a little sugar pill, and you compare it to whatever you're, studying. And you take two groups of people, one group will get whatever you're studying, the other one's getting the placebo, and the patients don't know, what they're taking, which one they're taking, and the doctors have no idea who's getting what. So there's no influence that you can have, from knowing whether you're taking it or your doctor's knowing it. So what they did was they took patients who had a larger abdominal girth, so they identified that they had excess belly fat. Half of the group went on the oligonol supplement, and half of the group went on placebos. And at 10 weeks, they didn't change anything else. And at the end of 10 weeks, when they checked the amount of belly fat, and they actually used a CAT scan for this, which would be super accurate. I'm not thrilled about that because of the radiation, but they used a CAT scan, for the accuracy, and they found that the people who were taking oligonol lost 15% of their belly fat. Now, in health statistics, that's actually this astronomically high, statistically significant number. They also found that they lost about 6% of their subcutaneous fat and about an inch and a half off of their waist. So I always say, okay, there's no magic pill, that's going to make you lose weight. I mean, we're always looking for that one. You've got to do a really healthy diet and exercise, but we also know that there's some certain things that can help you in addition to that to help to kind of target getting rid of that belly fat. So oligonol, like I said, I was extremely impressed with those studies on it that showing that it can be beneficial for people in helping them to deter that.
Dr. Horner, I just want to let our listeners know that this is Dr. Christine Horner talking here on Let's Create a Better World. I'm Bobby Elias, your host. I like what you talked about, all the ancient healing methods, and you really study those. And towards the end of this show, I want to talk about your book that's won several honors because you've got a great book, I know. But the next subject would be nice that we could talk about is the times that people should eat their foods and also liquids. Could you touch on those two items?
Sure. But actually what I'd like to do first is kind of, there's a couple more nutritional supplements or foods that can be really beneficial in helping to, help you get rid of belly fat. So another one is omega-3 fatty acids. And most people have heard of that, been in the news a lot. It's considered the healthiest form of fat that we can consume. I mean, it used to be that we villainized fat. We went through that phase. And now, thank goodness, we've kind of come around full circle and got more rational on this, where we now understand that fat is a very important nutrient for us to consume in adequate amounts every day, because there's so much that our body uses fat for. So all the cell membranes are made out of fat, our brains are coated in fat, our nerves are coated in fat, our hormones are made out of fat. But the thing is, it's just super important about the type of fat that you consume. So there's certain fats that are considered bad fats, like saturated animal fats, trans fats, those, you know, man-manipulated fats that are now being phased out and banned because they're so bad for us. Omega-6 fatty acids, although we need to consume them if you take them in excess. These are kind of the vegetable oils and that kind of thing that can promote inflammation and cancers and that kind of thing. So omega-3 fatty acids are considered the healthiest form. When we consume enough of them, you know, it's kind of the construction materials for our body. So the cell membranes incorporate a lot of the omega-3s, and they actually become more flexible and they function better. So we find there's kind of an across-the-board health benefits associated with that. They have huge anti-inflammatory properties. And then when it comes to body fat, I mean, it might seem kind of counterintuitive that you would eat fat to lose fat, but that's exactly what they found, that if you're taking in adequate amounts of omega-3 fatty acids, it actually causes you to have less accumulated fat, belly fat, you know, on your body. And there's a really interesting study where, you know, we're checking all the different things that we're doing research on now after we did the mapping out the human genome. One of the favorite things that researchers do is they will check to see how something affects our genes. So what genes are being turned on and what genes are being turned off, so we can, you know, understand it from a genetic level. And so what they found with omega-3 fatty acids is they actually turn on a gene that is responsible for some of the energy production in our body. And so if you're taking in adequate amounts of omega-3 fatty acids, you can actually burn up to 400 more calories a day. So that's, you know, one of the ways that it helps with, you know, reducing belly fat. Now, the interesting thing about omega-3 fatty acids is that everybody kind of metabolizes them differently. And researchers have found that no matter how great your diet is, virtually everybody needs to take a supplement in omega-3 fatty acids to get enough of them in. So you actually need to check your levels to see how much omega-3 fatty acids your body requires, because, like I said, everybody's kind of, you know, different with this. So it's hard to give this cookbook amount, oh, you should take 1,000 milligrams, you should take 2,000 milligrams, that kind of thing. It's like you really need to see what it is, you know, for you. And so you don't even need to go to a doctor's office for that. You can order a kit from the internet. There's a website called nutrientpower.org. And nutrientpower.org is run by a 501c3 organization. And part of their commitment is to study different nutrients. Omega-3 fatty acids and vitamin D are two that they've done a lot of work on. And really seeing what, you know, kind of the relationship to what your levels are to what various different diseases are. So they're doing kind of an international data collection study on that so that we can get some big numbers and accurate data on that. But on their website, nutrientpower.org, you can order this kit. It comes to your house, and you don't even, they have instructions on it, basically. So you're pricking your finger and just putting a little dot of blood on the piece of paper, and it's sent in to them, and then they will let you know what your numbers are. And so what they give you as far as the numbers for the omega-3 fatty acids is they have something called an omega-3 fatty acid index, and you want your index numbers to be 8% or higher. So a lot of people who have taken this, I mean, some of my colleagues and so forth, they've been surprised that they're, even though they were taking, you know, supplemental omega-3 fatty acids, that their numbers were lower than what they were expecting. So, like I said, this is something where it's important to get your numbers checked and then to make sure that you're taking adequate amounts. So, omega-3s. And then the final nutrient that can be really beneficial is actually the spice cinnamon. So we think of medicines not tasting good, but long ago, and particularly in Ayurveda, which I've done training in, they use spices as medicines, and we know that virtually every spice is a concentrated form of medicine, and they all have their very unique pharmacies and things that they do. So cinnamon is something that's been found to be really powerful in helping to make your blood lipids, the fats within your blood, to be more optimal and normal. And then it also has this very strong effect in helping glucose metabolism. And it's actually not small as far as the effect is concerned. There was a study that showed it can increase glucose metabolism by 20 times. So the recommendation is to do about 2 teaspoons of cinnamon a day. And that will really help you with, the weight loss benefits. And again, this is, associated with the regulation of your blood sugar levels. So those are some, kind of quick tips and things that you can add to your diet that, can definitely help you to minimize your belly fat.
For our listeners, this is Dr. Christine Horner speaking. Dr. Horner, I'm going to have her on hopefully another 3 months from now to talk about. Well, I'm going to speak to her about several issues that she's talked about in her book. And by the way, we definitely want to tout her book because it's a prize-winning book. But anyway, I did mention the other 2 things about that you could speak to on that, times of the day that people could eat and also about liquids. You had some really good things to talk about on that. If you can, or whatever you want to talk about, go right ahead, Dr. Christine.
Sure. Yeah, so... just to kind of, again, lay a foundation. So I was a surgeon. I worked as a plastic surgeon and was doing a lot of breast reconstructive surgery and noticed my patients were getting younger and younger. And finally, the day when I was doing surgery on a woman in her 20s because of breast cancer, I thought, something is seriously wrong with this. And there's got to be things that women can do to lower the risk of, this disease. And this was 20 years ago, so long before we really were talking about natural health in the culture. And I certainly learned no nutrition courses, nothing about, my medical training about health, really. So when I went through the medical research, there were thousands of studies, back then that pointed out that most of the illnesses, including breast cancer, all the chronic illnesses that we have are mostly diet and lifestyle related. And, if we have an optimal diet and lifestyle, then, it reduces our risk by about 95%, of most of these diseases. So that really turned my attention into natural health, and then I had all sorts of kind of serendipitous things that happened, which included meeting a gentleman who came out to actually interview me for a television interview, and he had been a teacher of transcendental meditation for about 30 years and had been studying Ayurveda. And I'd never heard of Ayurveda before. I mean, I'm kind of embarrassed to say at that point. But, he was like, this is something that, you should really learn about and really experience. And so he said, you need to go to this clinic in Fairfield, Iowa, where they do a detoxification program because 5,000 years ago they realized that, we get toxins in our body, even though they weren't using chemical toxins back then, just, having emotions that interfere with our digestion, can create toxins in the body and prevent it from functioning the way that, we need it to function. And so they had this program called Pancha Karma. And Panchakarma is a, doing a detoxification sounds like it might be kind of unpleasant or, uncomfortable or painful even, but it's not at all. They do it in it's a medical spa kind of setting where you're really doing kind of luxurious treatments using hot oils and massage and steam and all these different techniques are designed to help to get the toxins out of your body. So anyway, I went to that for 3 days, but after only about 48 hours, I looked in the mirror and I looked 10 years younger and never felt better in my life. And I thought, oh my God, these people really know something. So I started studying Ayurveda then and just, learned everything I could about it and became certified in it. And so there's, their philosophy and the you know, kind of paradigm in which they exist is very different from Western medicine. Ayur means life and Veda means knowledge, so it literally means the knowledge of life. But what they understand is really all the rules that govern us as human beings. So it's kind of looking at, they call them natural laws, and we know that from the standpoint of some of the natural laws that are obvious is that, you know, you got to sleep or you're not going to do very well. You got to eat or you're not going to do very well. But actually, there's hundreds of different, you know, really specific ways that our body uniquely functions and that have been identified. And they also identify we're not all the same, you know, so everybody's kind of different. But there's about 9 different body constitutions that they've identified. And so there's certain things that if you're one body constitution, if you do certain things, it might bring your body into balance. If you're a different body constitution, it could take your body out of balance. So it's really helps you to get a very specific kind of prescription for your own unique physiology. But there are some things that, you know, affect all of us. It's just kind of how we're wired as human beings. And understanding that, the whole point of it is that when you are following the laws, understanding them and following them, then your body will go into balance and it will enhance your body's inner healing intelligence, which can now then keep you well. If you disobey those laws, then your body starts to create imbalances and that obstructs the flow of the intelligence in your body and your inner healing intelligence can't keep you healthy anymore. So there's really simple, I mean, it's kind of deceptively simple recommendations that Ayurveda gives. And it can have these really profound effects on your health. And the other thing that I just think is just so wonderful is that having studied Ayurveda 20 years ago, now what I see is that there's all sorts of research that's being done on some of these 5,000-year-old recommendations, and we're finding out that not only do they, you know, do what they say they do, according to Ayurveda, it's generally way more potent than, you know, we ever expected. So simple little things. So, you know, when it comes to helping with your body fat and belly fat, digestion is just as important as the types of food that you eat. So as I spoke about earlier, it's really important to be eating mostly a plant-based diet and organic for sure. But then there's things that can enhance your digestion that really have an effect on how your physiology uses those foods. So one of the things, a violation, lots of violations we do in America, is the human body is actually designed to eat your main meal at noontime. So the digestive fires, according to Ayurveda, so they have a different language about it, but they say the digestive fires are the very best between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. And so you should be eating your main meal at noontime. Well, here in this country, I mean, most people, you know, eat on the run and then, you know, have their main meal in the evening, which is heavy. And so the body's not designed to eat a heavy meal in the evening, and anybody who's had the experience of eating too much, you know, late at night knows that, you know, you don't sleep very well because your body's really working and trying to digest while you should be sleeping. So so there was a study that came out this past year that I thought was pretty fascinating because it was looking directly at this. So they had people who ate, they had two groups of people. One group, they all ate the same number of calories. And they had one group eating 50% of their daily calories for lunch, and they had one group that did 50% of their calories for their evening meal. And so, again, no difference in the number of calories that they were consuming. And they found that those people who were eating their main meal at noontime lost weight, and the people who were eating their evening meal like that did not. So it shows that, you know, when we're working kind of in harmony with how the human body is designed and enhancing our digestion, it actually helps you to maintain a optimal body weight. Another thing that we do in this country, like I said, we eat on the run. We have a tendency to eat in the car. We're eating, you know, standing up. So if you eat standing up, they found your blood flow is going to your muscles, you know, to help you stand up, and it's not going to your stomach. So you want to maximize blood flow going to your stomach. So part of it's sitting down when you eat. So it's a simple thing, but actually sitting, you know, when you eat is something that will enhance your digestion. And again, you know, we found that's something that will also cause your body to want to be the optimal weight and can help. Another little trick is before you have a meal, particularly dinner, because you want to eat a lighter meal for dinner, I mean, the recommendation is to have your last meal before 7 o'clock and to have it be really light and easily digestible. So something like soups, you know, for instance. So if you go for a brisk walk, and you don't have to go very far, I mean, you can just do something like, you know, brisk walk around the block, then the effect that it has is it speeds up your metabolism and it decreases your hunger. So it will help you to not overeat, you know, in the evening and to, minimize that. Another favorite kind of faux pas that we do is, you know, whenever you go out to a restaurant, they always bring you ice water, right? They have it packed full of ice.
Yes.
So in Ayurveda, they say you should never drink iced drinks, particularly with meals. And as it turns out then, what the research shows is that in fact is true because the enzymes in our stomach that help to break down our food, they work optimally at body temperature. So when you're consuming iced drinks, what you're doing is shutting down their effectiveness, they found, by about 50%. So really cutting their effectiveness in half. So it really affects your digestion. So the advice is that you should really minimize the amount of fluids that you're intaking while you're eating, because that will dilute your digestive enzymes too, which, you know, decreases their function. And if you are taking in any fluids, it should just be sips of maybe some hot herbal tea or some warm or hot water, but just little sips of it. And that way you're keeping your digestive enzymes at a temperature that makes them the most effective and also doesn't dilute them, you know, too much.
Excellent. Well, we're speaking to Dr. Christine Horner here. As we begin to finish up, Dr. Horner, in a short while, I want you to give your information about your book and your contact information. But first, I do want to have you on again in about 3 months, and we need to talk about, you've covered so much territory on this one. Ancient medicine is one thing we'd like to talk about more. And how people sleep and how they the stress factors more into that, if we could. But, you know, you do a heck of a job better than me as far as figuring out all these things to talk about. Also, it's important to let our listeners know that medical industry, is, as we say on this show, is not doing the job. We need to go to more progressive ways like Ayurveda or Chinese medicine, acupuncture and chiropractic work and just holistic doctors. Naturopaths. We need to get into that more. I would like to talk to you about that more in the future. How you can say something on it now if you want to, but how people are being steered the wrong way because they're being given nothing but medications that have so many side effects, and there's so much surgery with many times not needed, and the food in the hospitals is atrocious. It's really bad. Well, you said something about water. One last thing before I let you get back on. My dad was very sick. He was in his late 70s. He had drank a lot. Cirrhosis of the liver, and the hospital brought him a glass of cold water with ice, cold water, and he's sitting up. He drank it fast, and he had a heart attack right there. So, and you know that. Go right ahead. Your turn, doctor. We've got about five more minutes.
Well, you know, you're right about the hospitals. Green Jello glazed donuts, I mean, stuff like that. But yeah. So you know what I found? I mean, I had extremely extensive education, you know, we'll say in Western medicine. So I went through medical school, which was 4 years. Then I did 5 years of general surgery, you know, residency, and then a couple of years in plastic surgery. So it was like, I don't know, 15 years or something of education that I had. And, you know, when I said when I got out, I was, you know, working with breast cancer patients, and I realized then that I had not learned anything about health. I had not had a single nutrition course. All I learned about was how to use pharmaceutical medications to suppress symptoms, or you know, to use surgery to, you know, cut things out. So Western medicine, again, is, you know, lots of people talk about this. It's like, thank goodness we have it for, you know, emergency situations, broken bones, and, you know, things like that. But when it comes to health, there isn't much of an understanding of it. I mean, there's just kind of like, don't smoke, and, you know, you should exercise, and, you know, there's kind of some, you know, basic understandings of eating right, but not very sophisticated in any way. And you know, the medicines that these ancient holistic systems, that was their whole focus, was about how to create health. So when I started learning about Ayurveda, I mean, it truly was the first time where it's like, now I have an understanding about how to create health. And so I actually decided to leave my practice. It's now been 15 years ago. I mean, time flies. Because yeah. I thought, you know, the things that I'm seeing and all the suffering that I'm seeing, it is easily preventable. But, you know, nobody was talking about it back then. So I actually started, I went to the television stations in Cincinnati, Ohio, where I was living at the time. I now live in San Diego. But I said, hey, let me be your doctor on air talking about complementary and alternative medicine rather than pharmaceutical stuff. And this is back in 1999, 2000, I mean, a long time ago. And so they went for it. And so I did that for 3 years where I, you know, every week did several segments in the newscast, you know, talking about different complementary and alternative medicine techniques that people could do that, you know, could really enhance their health. And again, there's so many simple things. I mean, you know, like in Ayurveda, just profoundly simple but incredibly, you know, effective things that can help to improve your health and really end a lot of suffering. So anyway, at the end of 3 years, it was like, okay, I was working 14 hours a day, 7 days a week to pull off doing the television in addition to my practice. And I just thought, you know, I can't do this anymore. It's killing me. So I decided I was going to leave my practice and so I could dedicate myself full time to teaching people how to avoid the knife. So, yeah, so that's what I've been doing, and I've written a couple of books. My first book is called Waking the Warrior Goddess, kind of an odd title, but it's about enlivening your body's inner healing intelligence, and it's all focused on what you can do to help to prevent breast cancer. Breast cancer, prostate cancer, and colon cancer are actually very similar tumors and very much influenced by diet and lifestyle, so it really addresses all of those. But as I was doing this book, I also am looking into the research on breast cancer. It was like, well, all the things that I found that increase the risk of developing breast cancer are the same things that increase your risk of, you know, all the other chronic diseases too. So my first book, as I said, is really focused on breast cancer prevention and also helping people who have breast cancer to more successfully fight their disease. And so it's all evidence-based, so it's based in research. I have a huge, you know, reference section in the backs for those that want to see those studies, and then and resource section too, so everything I talk about in the book, I have, you know, the places that you can find it and purchase it and that kind of thing. And that book won the book award for the best book in health, medicine, and nutrition, and is now in its third edition. And then about a year ago, I wrote a second book, which is called Radiant Health, Ageless Beauty. And that book is really focused on how to create extraordinary health and longevity. So it's not, you know, focused on disease. It's focused on how to create health. And so all the research is based on longevity and, you know, health statistics. And then both books I have frameworked in Ayurveda, because for me, it's like that system of medicine is something that really allows you to have a clear understanding of why we do all the different things that we do and to create health. And again, it's not just one thing. I mean, a lot of people will ask me that too. What's the one thing that's the most important? It's like, well, the one thing that's most important is there isn't one thing. You know, it's like there's many different things that you need to do in order to create optimal health. And if you neglect one of them, you're not going to have, you know, be healthy. So, you know, obviously diet, digestion are important, exercise we know about. And you could do all those things, but if your sleep patterns are off, then you're going to be sick. And you know, sleep is something that, again, another area of just tons of research going on, but 5,000 years ago, Ayurveda said, you know, you should go to bed before 10 o'clock and get up by 6 o'clock. Those are the optimal hours for sleep. So what research has now shown is that that's exactly right. And it all has to do with hormonal fluctuations that occur throughout the day and throughout the night. So we have all sorts of hormones in our body, not just like estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. We have things like insulin, you know, that helps with facilitating getting glucose into the cells. We have our sleep hormone, melatonin, our stress hormones, cortisol. So all of these things rise and fall at kind of predicted times throughout the day and throughout the night, and they're all interacting with each other. So if you go to bed before 10 o'clock, and get up before 6 o'clock, they found that those hormonal fluctuations are optimal. If you go to bed after 10 o'clock, they're not. And people who stay up to midnight, for instance, on a regular basis, they found that it causes such severe hormonal imbalances in the body that it almost doubles the risk of heart disease, diabetes, obesity, and certain cancers like breast, prostate, and colon cancer. So again, for the obesity thing, it's like, you know, what happens is that when people stay up late, they usually get hungry again after 10 o'clock. And so if you eat anything after 10 o'clock in particular, your cells have already shut down because they're going through a phase where they need to kind of detoxify and, you know, clear the waste products. And, you know, that's what they do at night, which is a very important function. And so when you eat something, then the cells are shut down. They're like, forget it. We're not bringing in the calories. So they become insulin resistant, which increases your risk of diabetes. And then all those, you know, calories that you're consuming, they don't go in for energy. They actually go into your favorite place of depositing fat, like, you know, hip size or belly fat. So there's just, like I said, there's just understanding we're in the human body. This is the way it works. You could be mad about it, but you know, if you want to be healthy, you got to follow the rules.
Oh, this is Bobby Elias. A little transmission problem over here. I'm back. Dr. Horner, are you still there? I guess she gave her information out. Okay, let me wind the show down and let you know that next week we're going to talk about cleansing, detoxing, and all-around health by another. Oh, you're back. Yeah, good. Okay. Yeah. Well, we've only got did you give your contact information? Because I got lost somehow. I got cut off.
That's okay. Yeah, so the contact information, best way to get a hold of me is through my website, which is drchristinehorner.com, drchristinehorner.com. And on my website, I've got a free newsletter that you can sign up for that gives you kind of tips and tricks. I have my own radio show, too, called The Radiant Health Show with Dr. Christine Horner, which you can access, you know, through that. And my books are available for if you want an autographed copy on my website. You can also get them from, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, and all the regular sites, too.
And I recommend our listeners that last book that you have, The Radiant Health. It's really a super, it covers so much information about a lot of things. And you, what I like about you, Dr. Horner, is you cover so many areas because you've really gotten into health, and we love you. We'd like to have you on again in the month of May. I will speak to your assistants about which date, and maybe we can talk about what subjects to talk about. So thank you very much for being with us, and we love you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks.
All right. All right, great. All right, I don't know what happened to the phone for a short while ago. We got lost, but we're back. And anyway, let me just thank everybody and also let you know that next week, cleansing, detoxing with Dr. David Serio. Also, our show is on every week. Let me give you the number to call for your archives. It's area 701-719-0994. Here's my number. I'm Bobby Elias, 233-770-1925. I want to thank the New York crew, Jesse, Lisa, and I want to thank our engineer, Alex, our staff on Let's Create a Better World, Stuart, Greg, and Lydia. And thank our guests today, Dr. Christina Horner, and thank you, especially you, the listeners. Thank you all. We'll see you next week. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. It's fun to-